Hey, well, welcome back to our third week in our series, our Advent series entitled He Is. He Is. One of my favorite childhood stories, and now even as a grown-up, one of my favorite stories is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And some of you have heard me maybe talk about this before at other times, but I love that story because it's a wonderful illustration, example of God and who he was and what Jesus did for us through this beautiful childhood story. So this past year, I convinced my boys to kind of get in on this. And so I really was excited because I got to read all the stories, but they were a part of it too. I got to read to them. And so we kind of relived these stories for them for the first time, but for me as a father, reliving them again. And one of my favorite parts of the book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, is this part where the children that have entered Narnia are preparing to meet Aslan. And Aslan represents the king. We know that's Jesus, but in the story, they don't know. They just know it's Aslan, and it's the king. And there's all kinds of fear and worry and anxiety they have about meeting the lion, the great lion, the king. And so the children ask on that day all things about him. They want to know what he's like and who he is. And at one point, they even ask, meeting a lion sounds scary. Is he safe? And I love the response that you read in the book. And if you've heard me tell it, you know already. But one of the beavers there that's kind of giving the children the tour of the land, and they say, safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. And so this Sunday and each Sunday leading up to Advent, that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about who he is, Jesus, the baby in the manger that we worship, that we just sang about. Who is he? Because that impacts, that changes how we worship. It changes how we celebrate based on who he is. And so each week in Advent, you've been given a gift. And I can tell on your face you don't mind getting another gift today. Oh, you shouldn't have. All right, so week one, we talked about he is coming. And so this gift up here symbolizes that he is the God who is coming into our circumstances, into our brokenness. And not just that, but he is coming again. That the child that we worship as we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating a God who is coming again. And that is good news. And last week we came, and this present symbolizes that he is Lord. That he wants to not just be your Savior, but he wants to be Lord of your life. And so today, in our third week, we want to talk about that he is peace. He is peace. And so as I put this present here to symbolically represent his peace, I want to ask you today, do you have peace? He was, and still is the Prince of Peace. That's why he came to our world, to our brokenness. And so today, as Pastor Kerry comes in just a moment to share with us the third part of this series, let's lean in and listen as the worship team leads us in this song, understanding that he is our peace.
One star burns in the darkness, shines with a promise, Emmanuel. One child born in the stillness, living within us, Emmanuel. We're singing glory, glory. Let there be peace, let there be peace. We're singing glory, glory. Let there be peace, let it start in me. One voice speaks for the voiceless, holds for the hopeless, Emmanuel. One love brings us together,
with us. Do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid. His love is strong enough to save us. Nothing stands in the way. His love is strong enough to lead us.
We sing glory, glory. Let there be peace. Let there be peace. We're singing glory, glory. Let there be peace. Let it start in me. We're singing glory, glory. Let there be peace. Let there be peace. We're singing glory, glory. Let there be peace. Let it start in me. Let there be peace. Let it start in me.
Everybody for peace, applaud. I'm not sure, but somebody said he was in the building. I don't know if he's in this room. Pastor Vic and Tina Bright, are you in the room? Stand up. Stand up. Good to see you, brother. Oh, stick around long enough to hug me now, please. Pastor Vic is our former children's pastor for 22-23 years. Now he and Tina hanging out down in the Holy Land, North Carolina. And I forgot the first service. I was planning to do it, but I ran out of time. It's good to have my mom here, Lady Melba. I would not be here without her. Literally and spiritually. It's a long story, but it's a loving one. It's good to have you, Mom. Yes, it is. Peace. That's what we're talking about today. He is coming. He is Lord. He is peace. Wow. It's an amazing thought. We need peace. I was trying to go back in my mind to my first thoughts of peace, when peace mattered to me. I grew up kind of in the hippie years. I don't know if some of you know what that means. I was just previous to the Woodstock crowd. If I'd had my driver's license, I'd have probably driven there. We had a fundraiser at school one time where we could buy some things to hang in our room. And I had 3 plastic signs: love, peace, groovy. I was trying to think, you know, when did peace really take off in my heart? And I had this one picture in my mind, and this is it. President Nixon. I guess if he didn't make the peace sign popular, he made it famous again. And so I had that thought on my mind. And then, you know, it was all kinds of art. You know, you could buy this. If some of you are young, you think this is new, I'm sorry, you're being sold an old deal there. The peace sign, and you sing this, see it on T-shirts drawn all over the place. And I remember I was the second best artist in my class. David Gilligan was the best. I could out-trace him, though, you know, but he was the best freehander. And I don't know if you still do this in school these days. We used to get, like, composition books, notebooks, and binders. Every new year, you had to have new notebooks. I mean, and so often people in my class would come to me with their new binders and say, "Carrie, I want you to draw it. Draw it. Draw it on my binder." I didn't have sense enough to charge. And so I carried felt tips with me. And a felt tip is another word for Sharpie. And I would take their notebook and I would draw something like this. Ah, yeah. And I made a lot of people happy in my class, I suppose. Peace. Peace. But we know that we find it in Luke 2 and verse 14. We ought to be hanging out in Luke 2 during these days, especially. The Christmas story is there. And I'll let you read the story in its entirety. But this verse 14, is where I want to grab a hold here just a moment. I was looking up synonyms and antonyms of peace, and peace, words that are related to peace, calm, quiet, serenity, tranquility, stability, harmony. And I'm thinking about the days we live in, you know, where a lot of that is threatened all the time. It always has been, but it seems to be at a new volume, maybe. So much so that, you know, today even, I never thought, they didn't teach me this in Bible school. We've put a letter together to let some of you know that we don't have our head in the ground as leaders here. We know what's going on in the world. And so we have what I'm calling a safety letter. So when you leave today, you can take it home and read it. And people have asked us some questions. Are you paying attention to the times we live in? And, you know, when we gather and all that. Yes, we are. But that just tells you kind of that peace is being threatened maybe a little closer to home for us than we have known in the past. And you look at words that are kind of the opposite of peace, and you have words like conflict, contention, discord, strife, trouble, turmoil, unrest, upheaval. Now, here's the good news about the peace we're talking about today. The peace we're talking about today is a person. It's not just an atmosphere. He is peace. And I want to encourage you by saying there's no contradiction for us that there could be outer turmoil and trouble, but peace abiding within. We still have a deep, settled peace in our souls. Even in the midst of the world we live in, we have peace. No contradiction. The early church, as a matter of fact, last week I talked about the word Maranatha and how the Lord had given that to me like brand new. And it simply means, come, Lord Jesus. Or it means He has come and He is coming again. Maranatha. It's just my life will never be the same. I will have this word everywhere. I ordered a sign this week that says Maranatha. I'm going to put it in my office. I just do not want to forget it. But see, this word Maranatha came when the early church, they had lost outer peace. The sword was coming against them from the Roman Empire. And they were being persecuted and killed. And so they took that idea of shalom, which was kind of for them kind of this existence, the atmosphere of peace. It was the greeting they used, shalom. And they just put it aside because it wasn't the reality. And they took the word Maranatha, which means come Lord Jesus. And that became their deep settled peace, was that whatever comes at us from the outside, our Lord has come and He is coming again. And that, my friends, is peace. And if you're trying to find peace apart from a person, the God person, Jesus Christ, you need to call peace something else because it's not what you have. It's not really peace. And so we come and we know what's going on in this particular scripture. The shepherds are out and they're having a peaceful night. And they're watching their sheep, and outwardly it's pretty quiet. It's kind of silent night, that idea. And then all of a sudden, all heaven breaks loose on the Bethlehem hillside, and they were probably face down in terror outwardly, but then the angel of the Lord and the angel host praising God, probably singing, but they were saying at least, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those who have His good will, to those on whom His favor rests. So what they were saying was quite literal. Glory to God in the highest heaven, because tonight in the town of Bethlehem, peace has literally come to the earth and a little baby. God wrapped in skin. The idea is a very literal thought. And on earth, peace. So now the peace of heaven has literally come through the Virgin Mary and has been born in those Judean hills of Bethlehem, and peace has literally come to earth. Peace is a person. He is peace. Jesus is peace. Now, there's a track that's been going around for many years. I'm not a big track guy. I'm not against tracks. But I want to get sort of a relationship. I do live mostly, and there's more than one right answer, so this is just my right answer. By all means, win some, please. I'm encouraging any means of winning someone. But for me, the Lord gave me years ago this idea, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's why I'm a pastor. That's why I've been here so long, and some of you are wondering, is he ever going to leave? You know, it's that idea. But the sense is that I'm a longevity person. So for what God has called me to, tracks are not always the best. But I want you to know I have a pack of tracks in my vehicle. And occasionally, the Lord says, give one of those to someone. And this is not the one I have in my car, but it could be. This is Steps to Peace with God. It's the Billy Graham Association track. And it has great traction in the world. And so the sense is that in this, you go to Romans 5 and verse 1, which I'll just read it to you. This track, Steps to Peace with God, is built on Romans 5 and verse 1. And it accents what we are saying today. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he is coming. He is Lord. He is peace. And so in Romans 5 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul is saying that we have peace with God, but we would have no peace with God if peace had not literally come to the earth in the person of Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. He's the Lord of peace. He is peace himself. He's been called the Prince of Peace, Royal Peace, and that's who he is. This track, I'll just give you the really quick notes on it. It basically says that we don't have peace with God because we're separated from God. And if we remain separated from God, we will never have true peace. And so as a result of that separation, God decided that he was going to make a way of salvation. And the idea was that he sent his son to be our literal peace. He was born just like we were, except he had an immaculate conception. But he was born. It came to us through the human birth canal. So it's just amazing how God humbled himself. And the idea is that Jesus was born to die for sin. Actually, he became our sin so sin could die. Because unless sin dies, we can't get back to God. And thereby, he built a bridge for us. So our separation now has a bridge placed across it. And we can now come to God. We have steps to peace with God only because of the Lord Jesus who built the bridge. That's why the judge, you know, sang that song. Love can build a bridge. I don't want to keep going on because people keep offering me, you know, recording contracts. And I'm a pastor, so I don't want to keep singing. But there's a... if you're new, that was a joke. Or a lie, whichever you prefer. I was joking. The sense is that there are a lot of songs that are based on this idea of we're separated and love is the bridge. And love has a name, it's Jesus, and peace has a name, it's Jesus, and hope has a name, it's Jesus. So the world is looking for love in all the wrong places, which will make another country song. You know, the sense is that you can only look for love and peace and hope and joy, not in a place, but in a face. He is all of that. Oh, man. Thank you. I needed that, Lord. This time of the year, we sing a lot of hymns. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. That's the idea, he is Lord. Let every heart prepare him room. So we have to prepare room for the King to come. If we ever want to have peace with God, we have to prepare room for him in our life. Second verse says the Savior reigns. He's the Savior Lord. He's the Savior King. And talks about repeating the sound and joy. Verse 3, I want to come back to. Verse 4, he rules the world. He is Lord. With truth and grace, makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness. Righteousness means right relationship with God. And that's why Jesus came, was to restore righteousness, to restore a right relationship between us and God. That's what righteousness means. And wonders of his love, we know all that. Verse 3 is the one that kind of confuses most people. It confused me as a kid. I remember we would sing this. I didn't know what we were singing about. I was kind of like the little boy, you know, he heard Silent Night and he drew a picture. Have you all heard this? And so the little boy drew a picture. He drew the baby Jesus, he drew Joseph, and he drew Mary. And he drew to the side this rather large man. And his teacher said, "Now I know this is Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus. Who's that?" He said, "Oh, that's Round John Virgin." Anyway, so when you're a kid, you get these ideas. You know, you think, how many of you grew up in the 70s when you actually learned the lyrics to all the songs and you sung them? Yeah, back in the 70s. Did you ever learn lyrics that were wrong and like 10 years later you were singing them? Somebody said, "What are you singing?" I was famous for that. But this verse 3 of Joy to the World, "No more let sins and sorrows grow." See, that's the idea. Sin can't grow. It must die if we're going to go from separation to salvation. So that's why I say all the time, maybe the sentence I say more than anything from the pulpit is turn from sin and turn to Him. What I'm saying is you must have a conversion. You can't just make a decision for Christ. You have to go from spiritually dying to spiritually living. And the way we do that is we turn from sin and let it die. And we turn to Him and we live. No more let sins and sorrows grow. Sorrow grows as long as we are separated from God. And because Jesus has come literally to Bethlehem, we can say so long to sin and sorrow. The idea is doesn't mean we won't have brokenness and all of that, but it won't be in contradiction with our peace. How do I know this? I've watched many saints who love the Lord pass away. I've been there in the room. And you know what you find? No contradiction between crying and laughing. One moment the family is weeping, the next minute they are laughing their heads off. There's no contradiction. It doesn't mean there's not brokenness and loss, but there's still peace. There's still joy. You can still laugh. That's why the scriptures say we do not grieve as those who have no hope, because there's no contradiction. Man, it's a way to live. I'm telling you, it's a way to live. I mean, I would like to go out of this world if the Lord doesn't come get us first, which I'm good with that. But if I go out of this world, you know, if I die on my own, I'd like to go out with a tear in my eye and laughter on my lips. There will be no contradiction between those two things because peace has come to the earth. And He has come so that sin can't grow and sorrow can't grow. Nor thorns infest the ground. Now what does that mean? I don't know exactly what the writer of the hymn meant. But you know what? I hate to break this to you in case you don't know this, but you know, you and I, we're just dirt. Yeah. I know, that's sad. We're just dirt. I mean, we were created from the ground, from the dirt, and we're just ground. And then He breathed life into us and gave us life. But we're clay, we're dirt, we're ground, and we have thorns in our ground. Our flesh is dirt. Our flesh is ground. How many of you would be able to say, "I have a thorn in my flesh"? And don't point to the person sitting next to you, even though that may be it. But Paul kept talking about he had a thorn in his flesh, and he asked God to deliver him from it. And God said, "My grace is enough. My grace is sufficient." So even if I don't deliver you from, some people think he had a bad back. Some people think he had poor eyesight. The list goes on and on. You get a lot of different reasons. Some I shouldn't even talk about. But the idea is that the thorn in our flesh, in our ground, it's got to be over one day. And we can have peace now even though we have thorns in our life because we have the hope that it's just temporary. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow. Now, this next part is what I'm preaching toward. Far as the curse is found. There are people sometimes I'm talking to them about spiritual things, and they think literally that the Lord cannot forgive them because they've been so bad. They've done so awful that God could never, ever forgive them. Now, I want you to know that such thinking is arrogance. I mean, that's saying that I've done worse than what Jesus did good. Come on. I want to encourage you. And I want you to know that as far as the curse is found, He's bringing His blessings. He wants to make peace with those who have gone to the very dead end, far as the curse is found in sin. And He says, "I have come to be the bridge to bring you back to peace with God." Wow. This is Christmas. Makes you want to put another ornament on the tree, doesn't it? I love Christmas. We would be so cursed without it. The curse. The curse of sin. Well, here's what I believe about peace. I don't know the history, you know, of the peace sign and all of that. But here's what I believe in the context of what I'm saying today. He is peace. You know, we have these days things called emojis. If you don't know what emoji is, you're better off. Just relax. Take a little nap right now, next couple minutes. It won't even matter. But I hear people complaining about, don't talk to me with emojis. That means you don't have to use words. You just send little pictures or, you know, signs to people. And some people don't like it. You know, they don't, well, let's say, well, here, you know what? I want to break it to you. When I was growing up in grade school, we had no emojis, but we could talk fine to each other with no words. We had a whole lot of sign language. Some of it wasn't very good. Some of it was. But we had the peace sign. We used it a lot. Peace, man. Peace, bro. And I was thinking about it this week, and I was doing this, and I was practicing my artwork, in case any of you brought your Bibles, wanted me to draw a peace sign in it. Please don't. And I was thinking about it, and it's like the Lord, you knew I was going to make this real simple. I know, that's why you come. I said, here's the only way we can have true peace. God has to love us, and we have to love God. And that's where peace comes. You see, John 3:16 and 17 says that God loved and loves us. And he sent his son to see if we would embrace him and love him back. And my kids, as they grew up, when they turned about 18 or 19, I had talks with each of them individually. I did my best to lead my children. I didn't always do the best, but I did my best. And I remember telling each of them individually, whenever I felt they were ready, I said, look, I want you to know that your dad has no expectations for your life. It blew them away. They didn't believe it to start off with. They said something like, yeah, right. Try another one. And then I had to talk them into this. It's true. And some of you have heard this, but it fits so good here today. And I said, no, I mean, look me in. You know what serious looks like? Look in my eyes. I have no expectations of your life because I've done the best I can, and now it's going to be up to you. From now on, you'll make these decisions, and I'll be praying for you, and I'll be pulling for you, but I have no expectations. And they're like, all right, Dad, what do you have? They know I have something. I said, I have a desire. Not to be confused with an expectation. A desire and expectation are not the same. I said, I have one desire for your life, and it's in four words. Please love Jesus passionately. Because I'm here to tell you, a lot of people are all worried about keeping the rules. I'm not against the rules. Rules are helpful often. But I'm here to report that if you will please love Jesus passionately, the rules will be no big deal. You'll just love out of love. You'll just live out of love. And I remember last time I was down in Charlotte, my kid's now 30 and 28. My daughter lives in Charlotte. And we were pulling away, and she's standing out on the sidewalk watching us leave. And just before I got going, I rolled the window down, and I wanted to get the last four words in. She leaned in. She knew I was coming. I said, please love Jesus passionately. Rolled the window up. I'm going. That's my desire. You want peace? He loves you. Love him back. Turn from sin. Turn to him. And you will have peace himself. Jesus, the Christ. I want us to prepare for communion. And this is a really difficult transition. But this idea of curse, there's another word for it, damnation. In the Aramaic Bible, I came across 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22 last week, and the Lord gave me life and Maranatha out of it. And here it is in the Aramaic Bible, because Maranatha is an Aramaic word. Whoever does not love our Lord Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, let him be damned, cursed. Maranatha, our Lord has come. It's like, here's what this means. You don't want to love the Lord? That's your choice. You've chosen damnation because he has come. He is peace. You can reject it. If you do, you're cursed. You're damned because there is no plan B. That's what it means. It's difficult. God's Word translation, if anyone doesn't love the Lord, love him back. Let him be cursed. Our Lord, come. That's the cry of Maranatha. If anyone does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. You should be cursed. You should be damned because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through his Son. Now, love him back. Christmas is the greatest opportunity to love him back. And there's a passage in 1 Corinthians 11. It's a difficult passage. I grew up hearing it in the King James Version, which used to scare the heebie-jeebies out of me. Now, I'm not against the King James Version. I love it. I own many copies of it. But we have to understand what these words mean. If we don't understand words, one of my cousins one time, she wanted to have a debate with me because I read other translations other than the King James. And I said to her, I said, Joe, listen, do you understand all the words in the KJV? Oh, yeah, try me. She shouldn't have said that. I said, okay, iniquities. She's still thinking. Sin, wrongdoing, iniquity. So I like translations. But the King James, I was raised on it, so I would hear it every time there was communion. And this verse would come from verse 29. It ties to the verse I just talked about. And I just put it together recently. For he that eats and drinks unworthily, the cup and the bread, eats and drinks damnation to himself, curses himself. Not discerning, not realizing this is the Lord's body. This is the Lord's body and symbolism for our peace. Now, let me tell you what that is saying. Let me bring it down to the ground. What this means is, if you come and you get the cup and you get the wafer, and you don't love God, you don't love Jesus, if you love sin more than him, you're already damned. You're already cursed. But if at this table today, at Christmas time, you would like to see this as the gift of peace, and you'd like to take the cup and the bread and say, he has loved me, and today I will love him back. You come for forgiveness. You turn from your iniquities, your sins, and you turn to him. You let sin die, and you let relationship with God grow. This is what we offer today. That's what's in the gift. He is coming. He's coming again. He is Lord. He is peace. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to invite. We're going to do two waves today, and I make no bones about it. I don't apologize for it because it's Christmas time, and you have to receive your gift if you want it. So today, during the first song, it's an old Charles Wesley Christmas carol. At Celebrate Recovery, Teresa Crawford picked it Monday night, and it just warmed my heart. I wrote it down. I said, we will have this Sunday morning. This is so beautiful. Today, during this first song, listen, I'm only talking to those who would like to choose today salvation over damnation, connection with him over connection with sin. I invite you today to come during the first song. Come to these tables, take the cup and take the bread, and say, Lord, forgive me. Today I want sin to die, and I want to turn to you and live. I choose salvation over damnation. Today you have said you love me. Today I'm going to say I love you back, and I'm coming to receive peace. That's a person. Coming to receive Jesus. Let's stand today. I want us all to be on our feet. But during the first song, I'm not going to say any more about it, okay? First service, I pulled and tugged a little bit. It might have helped a few people. I want to let you know, I'm not going to pull and tug this service. I don't feel permission to. I'm going to ask pastors, shepherd staff to come to these tables, bring an atmosphere of prayer here. Now, during this song, it's not a very long song. Mandy's going to sing it from the keyboards. So you can begin moving now. Today, if you want Jesus to be your peace, you want that to be the gift you receive this Christmas, you want to choose salvation over damnation, he's calling you. Far as the curse is found, doesn't matter what you've done, what he's done is better than what you've done bad. And so come to these tables now, heads bowed, eyes closed. Be conscious of the people next to you in case they want to get by. After this song, we'll do wave two. But this is for those who want today to receive the gift of peace, salvation, knowing Jesus.
Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to
Okay, now we're going to have the second wave, and if you get mixed up in the waves, just it's okay, just surf. Just come to where you're coming. Now, there's a verse that says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. If that peace is ruling in your heart today. yesterday I was in Christiansburg, I was on the way to Kingsport, Tennessee to be with our Willis family for Christmas, and I saw a church sign with this message. I just had to write it down. Peace floods the soul when Christ rules the heart. This evening at 4:45, I'm going to show up at Court Square with my wife and my mom and whoever else might come with us. But we're going to bring a couple candles each, and we're going to go there, and we're going to raise those candles, sing two or three Christmas carols, hear a short devotional on Court Square. And I'm going to say, I'm going to say with my life, peace floods my soul because Christ rules my heart. Merry Christmas. And I wondered if I knew this would be the last Christmas that we were able to publicly celebrate the coming of the one who brings us peace. Would I be at Court Square? Yes, I would be there. And I want to minimize any future regrets. But that's the reason we'll be there. Now, the song we had last week, it needs no really introduction, but I'll give it a little bit in case you were not here. Maranatha. It's a song that I searched for an hour or more and found, and Pastor Joe and the band learned it. And so those who come now to the table, you come to remember that He is your peace. Maybe there'll be some recommitment going on. But today we come rejoicing that He is our peace and that we are not cursed, but we are loved. And we have salvation, sanctification even, not damnation. Because Jesus came. And so we come to celebrate now as we sing the song, Maranatha. As the Lord leads you, please come and receive the elements, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ represented in the cup and the wafer, and receive it discerning that these are symbols of salvation, that God said, I am going to build a bridge. And you have peace because of my gift at Christmas time. Come when you're ready.
Who are we without you? Where else could we go? There's no other we could turn to, for all is found in you alone. No other name to call on than the name of Christ. There's no other voice to follow, for only you speak words of life. So with arms lifted, our eyes fixed upon you, we cry out to heaven with hearts burning for the one God we pursue. Let this be our anthem. Maranatha, Lord, let your glory fall. Maranatha, Lord, let your fill us all. So with eyes lifted, our eyes fixed upon. to heaven with hearts burning for the one God we pursue. Let this be our anthem. Maranatha, Lord, let your glory fall. Maranatha, Lord, let it fill us all.
What a beautiful message to think we are the carriers of the presence of the Lord. From this message today, I have had a decision I had to make, and now I know the decision. So the message has helped me. There's a letter Pastor Carey talked about earlier today. There will be folks at each of the doors handing these out today, the letter on safety. The well is right across from the cafe. Maybe as you've listened to the message today, maybe you don't have peace about something. And there's someone at the well today that would be willing to pray with you over whatever that might be. First Time Friends is straight in the back of the room under Holiness Unto the Lord. If you are visiting with us today, we have a gift for you. We would love to meet you. So find your way there. Someone will greet you if you're here for the first time. Celebrate Recovery happens tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. We have a meal, and then we meet in here at 6:30. And again, maybe something's come up today that you just don't have peace about. Celebrate Recovery is for anyone who has a hurt, a hang-up, or a habit, and that about covers all of us. I know that the Lord has given me deep-seated peace this past year as He's brought some healing through Celebrate Recovery in my life, things I didn't even know I needed healing from. But he has been so faithful as we continue to meet. And as we get ready to go out this week, I just have these words. In this Advent season, Lord, come to us with your peace. And Lord, this season, let us not keep it to ourselves, but let us be conduits of your peace and your presence wherever we go. Bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.